The following sermon is from the 8 a.m. Sunday morning worship service of the Fourth Presbyterian Church of Bethesda, Maryland for September the 16th, 2001. Our speaker this morning is Dr. Norris, and his subject, God is the Lord. Dr. Norris uses Isaiah 40, 12 through 31 as his text.
Turn with me in the Word of God to the 40th chapter of the prophet Isaiah, as we read God's words together. The Lord speaks to his people and says, "Comfort, comfort my people," says your God. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? Who has understood the Spirit of the Lord, or instructed him as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him, and who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge, or showed him the path of understanding? Surely the nations are like a drop in the bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. Lebanon is not sufficient for altar fires, nor its animals enough for burnt offerings. Before him all the nations are as nothing. They are regarded by him as less than nothing. To whom then will you compare God? What image will you compare him to? As for an idol, a craftsman casts it. A goldsmith overlays it with gold and fashions silver charms for it. A man too poor to present such an offering selects wood that will not rot. He looks for a skilled craftsman to set up an idol that will not topple. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? He sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. He stretches out the heavens like a canopy, and spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught, and reduces the rulers of this world to naught. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them. They wither, and a whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and will not faint. Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious Lord, draw very close to us, we pray you. And with your grace and mercy, grant your presence and blessing to our hearts, that Jesus Christ shall be exalted and we shall know him and his way, his promise and the fresh hope of his presence, rise in us, both now and always. For we pray in his name. Amen. Where is God in the midst of all that we endure? Where is the Lord in the place where tragedy strikes, where disaster, where the hands of assassins strike down innocent victims? Where is God? The people cry. And there are no lack of answers that come from many quarters in the season of pain and national crisis. There are some who look with horror upon this great tragedy in our nation's history. And they say God is present in judgment. And yet God does not deal with our nation like that. He does not deal with us as he dealt with Israel of old, this covenant people. He does not come in the midst of this nation through the cruel acts of terrorists to bring judgment upon his people. There are others who say he is nowhere, he does nothing. He has simply allowed all things to run their course. But he does not do that either. For he is the Lord. He does not abandon those who have called upon him. He is the very present help in time of trouble. There are questions, there are many questions that come to souls that are grieving, to minds that are confused, to the perplexity of a people watching tragedy unfold and human tragedy pull at the very heart. There are questions, and yet there are not always answers. But amidst the questions, and even amidst the mystery of some of those questions, there stands the sureness. And we are called to affirm what we know, not to dwell on the things that we cannot understand and are not revealed and we cannot fathom. We live, we are made clear in God's word, in a world that has fallen from him, and the consequence of that fall is that there is evil present and evil that touches the hearts of men and nations and rips at the substance and the heart of our nation. And yet, as we live in a world in which we see the manifestation of evil so glaringly set before us, we are called to live yet as those who have learned to live with the affirmation of the certainties that we have, to find there our comfort. And in the passage that we read together, God speaks through his great servant and statesman, through Isaiah, and he says, "Comfort my people." And he spoke to a nation that was despondent, shocked by the events of invasion and the calamity that came upon them, and even to those who secretly despaired. And he said to them, "Comfort my people." How? And he says, "Show them who I am." And the comfort of God comes to people in distress, in perplexity, in anger, in fear, as we behold again the God who has spoken to us and breathed life into us and redeemed his people by the gift of his Son upon a cross. And in this great chapter, the Lord says to us, "Receive my comfort." And we receive it as we see him, and he stands before us revealed. He is revealed, our God, not far away, but the one who is close to his people, for he is revealed in terms that are personal and real and that come to our heart. He says, "Do not be afraid, to each who is his own, for his personal comfort comes as he, like a shepherd, tends the flock. His comfort comes as he gathers lambs to himself and as he carries them close to his heart. Our God is a personal God. He has spoken thus, and he has revealed it in that he deigned to take upon himself human flesh. He was born in a manger. He knew human life. He experienced the fullness of that life. He dwelt amongst his people and knew pain, knew suffering, knew injustice. He lived and died to be the Savior of his people. He comes to us as the God who is intensely personal, not hidden in the heavens, not far away from us in our need, not lost beyond all the clouds from the sight of those whom he has loved and who have cause to love and trust him. But he comes to us not only in personal terms. He comes to us also in the God who is powerful and whose power is displayed in his majesty, raised in holiness. The psalmist cries, "Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised." And Peter, as he watches the Lord, says, "We are eyewitnesses of his majesty." And the same God who stoops to us and gathers us to himself and carries us as lambs caressed to his own breast is the Lord who casts the world by his word and guides with majesty and power all. And there we find our comfort, in the God who is personal and yet the Lord who is sovereign, the same God who dwells close to us. And yet the people cry, how do we know? How does this comfort enter into our soul? How can we sense again the presence of our God, both close to us in our pain and acting in sovereign majesty and with unstoppable power? And the Lord here tells each one of us how we might find his comfort and how we may sing his praise, even through tears and in the place of mystery. And he tells us that we may find that when our eyes have been dulled and our hearts ache, we may find it when we begin, first of all, to remove from our thinking the limits that we have placed upon God that make him too small. The Lord invited his people to do exactly that. He says, "To whom will you compare me? Or who is the equal to me?" says the Holy One. And when events strike our life, when the events of this week that have struck our nation seem to cast doubt in our lives and in our minds about our God, he comes to us and he says, "My presence is here." And he says, "Lift your eyes and see, I am enthroned above the circle of the earth, and people are like grasshoppers." And we're reminded of that which we often forget, that we are always in the presence of God. We cannot escape him any more than we can hide from him. It's possible for us to cut ourselves off from other people. We can hide, we can close our doors, and we can live in our own world, and we can live in our own homes, and we can cut ourselves from all but almost trivial meeting with others. But, says God, you cannot cut yourself off from me, for I am the one who has made you. I set you in the world. I am the one
who knows you. The psalmist knew that, for he said, where can I go from your spirit? Where shall I escape from your presence? Neither heaven nor hell can shield me, says the psalmist, from the gaze of your eyes. And the fact is that not all the power of this world, not all the invasive power of evil that is manifest in this world, not all the darkness of human deeds, nor all the plans of human minds can deny the presence of God. You cannot shut him out. He is the Lord. Paul knew that. As writing to the Romans, he says, nothing in all of creation can separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus, my Lord. And when we begin to doubt because of the ravages of circumstance, the Lord says, lift your eyes. Look at me and see. And know I am the one whose presence never, ever is drawn from you. There is no limit to my presence. Any more than there is a limit to my knowledge. Just as I'm never alone, God makes it clear that I am never unnoticed in my need. Even though sometimes I think that I am because my pain seems to whelm within me and I feel myself alone, God says, why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, that my way is hidden from the Lord, that my cause is disregarded by God? It isn't true. And the Lord invites us to lift our eyes and see that in him stands the knowledge not only of the events of history and the unfolding mystery of this world, but he knows each one of us, the very hairs on our head numbered, and we known by God and our ways searched by his Spirit. God knows who we are. He knows us in the midst of life and faith. He knows me better than I know myself, and he knows my circumstances better than I can know. And his knowledge of me is my strength and support. Indeed, he says, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. We know that a God who could be avoided, whose scrutiny I could hide from, a God whom I could dismiss, would be a trivial God and before whom I could never bow and to whom I could never sing my praise. A God helpless in the face of circumstance, hiding from me in my misery, in my pain. There's no God revealed here. But the Lord says, see, I am almighty. He says, I have stretched the heavens like a canopy. I have spread them out like a tent to live in. I am the ruler of this world. I can bring princes to naught and reduce the rulers of this world to nothing. The first step by which our confidence in God is renewed and our faith strengthened, and we find his presence our comfort, the way in which we find both his personal care and we see again the comfort from knowing that we are held in the hand of a God who does not let us go, is to lift our eyes and to be confident that in his presence we dwell. Remove from your thinking the things that can limit God. That's what he is saying. The moment we set those limits, we deny ourselves his presence and his comfort. And he says, take down the limits that you would set. Tear down the walls that would be barriers to my presence and my power. That which releases in you the capacity to praise. But it is a second challenge. A challenge that we shall find to our comfort. Compare me with the greatest of powers that you can imagine. To whom will you compare God? What image will you compare unto him, says Isaiah? Look at my actions. I have stretched out the world. Who has measured the waters in their hands? Is anyone able to do that? Think of the nations with all their power and their roaring. Think of those whose actions are terrible, cause such grief. Still, he is greater. Besides, the nations are as a drop in a bucket. I am the Lord, greater than that. And I am the Lord who has overcome evil, even evil with all its ravaging power, power to desecrate the world he has made, to take away the love that he has displayed, evil that strikes, that permeates, touches the human heart. I am greater even than all the evil and the power of evil that has broken into my creation. For I am the Lord, and he has displayed his mastery over evil by the gift of his Son. Aye, it is a cross that stands as the stake driven into the heart of evil. It is the cross of Christ, who was taken by seemingly unstoppable evil hands and raised upon a cross. And from cross he rose, victorious. And the Lord says, compare me with any power in all this world, human or inhuman. And I am the Lord. And he stands its master. Too often, our thoughts of God are so human that they are too human. And we make our God too small, and from him we deny ourselves comfort, because we reckon not with his limitless power, nor his limitless knowledge, but we see him as a reflection of ourselves, weak. And so we do not trust him. God challenged his people of old, as he challenges us in the midst of this, our world, to see that he does not abandon them, not ever. He never abandons those who have called upon him and upon whom he has set his love, any more than the Lord Jesus Christ lost track of any who are his sheep. God doesn't forget his people. And he doesn't forget you or me. And he calls us from doubt to certainty, amidst mystery to the affirmation of faith. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He turned to an Israel dispirited. He turned to a nation that was torn in its spirit, for they had seen the power of the enemy, which seemed greater than the victory that they had anticipated. And he said to them, do you think I have grown old and tired? Do you really think that I've lost interest? Do you think that I have abandoned you and abandoned that which I have made into the hands of the enemy and the evil that would stalk? I am the Lord, and I have never abandoned, either with my care or with my power, nor have I abdicated. Behold your God, bruised of heart, but strong of faith, lift your eyes and see, he says. See amidst the tears and know amidst the pain that the Lord endures. You see the mercy of God spoken into our world. He brings even out of tragedy and evil good. And he lifts our eyes beyond things that are material and beyond the pain to things that are true and spiritual. He lifts the eyes of our nation to things that are eternal. And he lifts the eyes of our heart to the comfort of his presence and the call to eternity. And he lifts us that we shall see him. And this morning, the comfort to our soul, the comfort of a God who cares, the comfort of a God whose power is still manifest in his control of the world, is ours. It is what he brings to us in his Christ. And he says, seek it. Seek it as you take away the limit that you would set to my presence. Take it as you compare me to the acts and actions of the greatest and the most tragic, and you will see I am the Lord. And as you lift your eyes and as you behold this same God crucified in Christ, powerful enough to conquer even death itself. Find your comfort and your hope, and trust your way to me. Wait upon the Lord, and you will rise up with eagle's wings, greater than all the frailty of flesh, a power that is able to surpass even the energy of youth. We will rise with eagle's wings to him who is our hope and our enduring strength, our comfort, both now and forever. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, bless.